We're going to be looking at Psalm 37 today. Psalm 37. And we're going to take a quick look at what it means to delight ourselves in the Lord and delight ourselves in His Word. And if we really, I mean, it's easy to say that, right? Delight yourselves in the Lord and delight yourself in His Word. But when we actually do that, it's a total game changer. It's a total game changer. We're going to see that today. It will change our lives. In fact, in Psalm 1, the first of 150 Psalms, the author introduces us to an incredible promise. He shares two different ways to approach life, two different ways to make decisions, two different ways to make choices. And two dramatically different outcomes for our lives. So it's pretty important, right? Pretty important. We can delight ourselves in the Lord and in His Word and become like a fruitful tree planted by a stream of water and become a blessed person. That's what the author says in Psalm 1. Or we can delight ourselves in something or someone other than God and in the truth of His Word and become chaff, dead to the giver of life. Okay, so you got fruitful tree, chaff. Which one are you going to choose? Well, I'm guessing that most of you say, I want to be a fruitful tree. I want to be a fruitful tree. This is not just a statement, it's a promise. It's a promise. God wants to bless us, okay? God wants to bless us. He knows what will bless us. He knows what will hurt us. We think we know what will bless us, right? If I could just have this, if I could just be there, if I could just marry this person or whatever, then, He knows what will bless us. Let me read the first three verses of Psalm 1 that I mentioned. Blessed, and that word blessed in the Old Testament means, oh, how very happy. Oh, how very happy. I mean, that sounds really good, right? Oh, how very happy is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his, what? Delight. His delight is in the Lord, the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night, and he's like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Wow. It's good stuff, right? You see, I believe the real issue for us as followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ today, is moving us from where we were when we accepted Christ as our Savior, where we were when we were saved, to where God wants us to be. Where we were when we knew we were needy, to where God wants us to be today. The Bible calls it a race. Did you know you're in a race today? You started that race when you accepted Christ. That wasn't the end. That was the beginning of the race. It's a marathon, okay? It's a lifelong process. The Bible also says that we're in a battle. So life is not only a race, but it's a battle. And if the enemy can't keep you from accepting him as your personal Savior, he will try to wreck you in some way and render you useless or wounded or whatever you want to call it, but not able to continue the race. So it's a battle. We're in a battle. And it's also a building project, the Bible calls it. foundation, Jesus Christ, and then we're building our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So we're in a race, we're in a battle, we're in a building project. Pretty awesome, right? As we seek God, as we face our fears about life and the facts and be honest with God, and we delight in Him and in His Word, then we see God working in our life. And we give testimony to that. Last Sunday, if you were here, under that tent, we had baptism and we had testimony of people who had their lives changed. It was amazing. I mean, I was blessed to be there, to hear that God's still working in people's lives to change them. Chris, you were encouragement to me last week. God bless you. If you'd have told Chris that he was going to be baptized last week here a year ago, he would have said, you lost your mind. God changed his life, transformed his life, and we were there. He gave testimony to that last week. We should do that every week, have testimony. What did God do in your life this week? Well, I'm saved. You know? Well, what has he done lately, right? We're looking at Psalm 37 this morning, and we're looking at the two D words, delight and desire. Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, that's really sounding good, isn't it? It's got a nice ring to it. I read this as one of the five top memorized verses in the Bible. A lot of plaques in homes, you know. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires in your heart. Why is that? Because we're selfish people, and we are drawn. We're needy people. We're drawn to verses that promise to meet our needs. I know that's harsh. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But all of us who have come to Christ came to get something, correct? The Bible calls it a free gift. We came to get a free gift. Didn't earn it, don't deserve it, not good enough to get it. We just came and got it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that none of us can boast, oh, I did enough to get it. You did nothing to get it. I did nothing. I just said I need it and got it. How many of you have gone to a timeshare tour never intending to buy it? You just wanted the free gift. There's a hand in the back. There's an honest person. I like to do that, you know. In fact, I think we were down in Mexico or something, and we were with some friends, and I said, let's go and do that. And the guy in the hotel said, yeah, you don't even have to go on the tour. Just ask for the gift. So I go there, and I said, I don't want to waste your time. I just came for my free gift. He said, what? You got to go through the agony of the tour to get the gift. Aren't you glad that we have a giving God? God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus said, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden and worn out, and I will give you rest. Isn't that neat? God knows what we need. We don't need a timeshare. We need Jesus, right? God knows that we seek scriptures that promise the desires of our heart. He also knows that our self-seeking approach could lead us to great treasure, life change. The end result motivates our first approach to Psalm 37:4. He will give you the desires of our heart, and we hear that. We're all ears. Then the end causes us to consider the means. Delight yourself in the Lord. True to our human form, we're attentive to the means so that we can reach the end. God knows us, and He knows that we will be attracted to our desires. And He uses that to introduce us to what it means to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're willing to look at it. We're willing to take the tour to get the gift. What we're going to see is that our desires from the beginning have been about us. Right? Our hearts are, according to Jeremiah 17:9, messed up from the get-go. They're just messed up. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, desperately wicked. Some of your translations say desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? God. God understands it. He's very sad, but He's not surprised. God wants to change that. He wants to change our hearts, our desires, for our good and for the blessing of everybody that we come in contact with, ultimately for God's glory. God wants to change our self-centered desires, and He does that as we learn how to delight ourselves in Him. It's interesting, as we look at this psalm, David starts out by telling us not to be ticked off about the bad guys, about the wicked guys. Don't worry about the wicked, he says. We worry about the wicked. We get so bent out of shape, basically, because the bad guys have all the stuff, and we don't have the stuff, and we work hard, and they don't. They don't pay taxes, and we do. Why doesn't God just zap them? Right? That's kind of the way we feel sometimes. They get away with it. David says, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. They will soon wither and die. You worry about you. Verse 3, Rob, you trust in the Lord. Verse 4, Rob, you delight yourself in the Lord. You, Rob, commit your way to the Lord, and Rob, be still and wait patiently. God's going to take care of those guys, okay? He's going to take care of that. We get so mad and so about the wicked and so frustrated, we're basically rendered useless for kingdom purposes. If you listen to a lot of conversation at Starbucks or the Shack, it's people whining about bad people. Bad stuff that goes on in our world. There's a lot of it, right? A lot of it. We can get so consumed with that. David says, stop being angry. You guys, delight yourselves in the Lord. What does that mean? One of the great definitions that I read goes like this: to delight ourselves in the Lord is to find treasure in your relationship with Him. It's like a treasure hunt. This morning, we want to understand this verse and activate it in our lives. The verse needs to be a vital part of our life. It is a promise, and God keeps His promises. God delights in us, and He desires that we delight in Him. Verse 23 of Psalm 37, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. You see, there is a desire that comes from our flesh. And if it's left unchecked, it will shipwreck our lives. It will ruin you. It will ruin me. But there are desires that come from God, and they give life. I was a coroner in this county for 17 years. Some of you know that. And we would walk away, police, firemen, myself, from situations, and we would say, another wasted life. This didn't have to happen. This could have been avoided. I believe as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us His desires. And His desires become our desires. And His desires bring blessing and joy and satisfaction and protection. How does it happen? How does this happen? I think there's two ingredients in delighting in the Lord. And if you forget everything I say, these are because it's written in His Word. Number one, knowing what pleases God. Number two, doing what pleases God. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I take joy in doing Your will, my God. I take joy in it. For Your instruction, I know. It's what great relationships are made of. You know the other person. You know what pleases them. You know what breaks their heart. And if you're smart, respond to that. You don't fight that. You want a great relationship? You know each other, and you do things that please. You have a great relationship. And because of that, you are blessed. What is it that makes some people delight in the Lord? I think it's when they understand their desperate need of a Savior, and they recognize that Jesus Christ meets all of those needs. And their cry of their heart is to know Him, worship Him, obey Him, and be like Him. Is that the cry of your heart today? If that is, you have an awesome adventure ahead of you. Romans 1, one of my favorite chapters, not because it's sad, really, but it's one of my, it talks about suppressing the truth. It says in Romans 1 that God has made it very clear that He is the Creator, okay? He's made it evident all around us. You saw Hannah here this morning. She's got twins in there, okay? That's unbelievable. How could that happen? God. Okay? So it's evident that there's a God, and if you suppress the, Romans 1 says, if you suppress the truth about God long enough, you get goofy. You get a depraved mind, the Bible says. You can't think straight. Suppress truth long enough, you can't think straight and make bad choices. Lives are shipwrecked. Eventually, they're totally separated from God. Philippians 3 says, I'm pressing on to understand why God saved me, Paul says. That's my desire in life. I want to know why God saved me. I believe He saved us in order that we might delight in Him, know Him, and obey Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Know him, obey him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's what I'm praying today for myself, and I'm praying for you, that we would take this to heart. Know what pleases God, and by the power of the Spirit in us, do what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. It's sharp, and it's able to penetrate our lives and get us where we need to be gotten. Father, that we would make our heart's desire to delight in you, to know what pleases you, what doesn't, and to choose those things that would please you and honor you. And because of that, be blessed in our life. Be a blessing to those around us, and ultimately to bring you the glory you deserve. Challenge us today, Lord, where we have gotten off the path, where we've compromised, where we believe it's too difficult. May you draw us close to yourself, and may we honor you with how we live, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.